Let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. We've been going through the Bible in our series that we call Seeing Jesus. And so we're going through every single book of the Bible, taking one message from each book and finding Jesus Christ. And we said at the very beginning, very first message, that we do this because we believe that when we see Jesus Christ, we'll be changed into His image. And so we've been asking the Lord to show Himself to us as we've been going through this. And so now we've come to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we're going to read starting in verse 12 down through verse 15, where the Bible says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And then the verse that we're going to focus on this evening, "who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Let's start with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that we can have in our hands the Word of God. And so, Lord, we ask tonight that You would bless Your Word as You have said You would. And we ask You would bless our time. Help us as we study Your Word now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I remember when I was in high school, we would have to do fine arts every year. And so back in those days, we had to sign up for something. Right? Fine arts was this competition where you had to do something and as part of this competition with schools in your area. And then if you were good and if you, you know, came in first place, you'd go on to nationals. And they had a lot of different categories of things you could do. A lot of them were things where you had to get up in front of people and do stuff like singing or like speaking or preaching and those things. I did not want to do any of those. So I said, I will do like art, because that is something you could do in the privacy of your own home, give it to someone and they just look at it. And that's what I would do. And I enjoyed drawing a little bit of painting, but my favorite to draw was always animals, and like the scenery that would go with that. I enjoyed doing that. I did not like drawing people and faces because that was very difficult. And it seems to me that you can draw an animal and everybody look at that and go, yeah, that looks exactly like an animal. And then you draw a person and they go, it's close. I mean, I can tell you were drawing a person, right? But it just looks a little off, you know, like you got some things just a little wrong or some small details wrong, and I could see what you were going for. And because there's a lot of little details that go into it, and if you mess some of those up, then it doesn't look quite right, and it's really noticeable when you're drawing a person's face. And there are some rules for how to draw like what they would call a classical face, right, with like the perfect model of a face, and there's some rules that go into that. For example, one of those is that when you start, you draw an oval for a face and not a circle. You look around, you go, nobody's got a round face, right? Nobody's got a perfectly circular face. So that's a kind of a simple one. Another one is this. When you draw the eyes go in the middle of the face, not up toward the top. Now you're all looking at my face. the eyes are generally toward the middle. And you see, you know, as a little kid, you draw a face and you draw this, the circle or the oval, and then you put the eyes toward the top, and when in reality, they're more toward the center. Here's another one that I didn't know until I looked this one up. The distance between the eyes is the width of an eye. So you have, like, you put an eye in the middle, and you draw your two eyes on the outside, and that's about the spacing that's there. The top of the ears are even with the top of the eyes. Top of the ears even with the top of the eyes. I hope mine are. And then another rule is this. The corners of the mouth line up with the center of the eyes. So the line through the center of your eyes as it goes up and down, and that's about where the corners of the mouth are. So there's these different rules that you use to draw what they would call like the classical or the perfect sort of face. And then you try and do that, and you mess it up a little bit, and you get these details wrong, and it doesn't look quite right. Now, all of us are different, right? There's variation in every person's face. We look at these rules and go, it's not exact for every person, right? Some people's eyes are closer together or wider apart or whatever, right? We all have these different variations. And it's, especially when you're trying to recreate someone's face, someone that people know, like someone that's a well-recognized person, You try and draw their face, and if you get the little details wrong, it's going to be really noticeable. And they'll know who you're trying to go to reproduce and who it's supposed to look like, but they'll say it's not exactly right. It looks a little different, looks a little odd. It's not exactly how I know it's supposed to be because of those little details. And if you're just drawing someone, it doesn't really matter, but there are times when it's really important that you get those little details correct. In the 80s, the National Child Safety Council started putting the pictures of missing kids on milk cartons. And they did that back in the 80s. It was later replaced by the Amber Alert system, I think in the 90s. But in the 80s, that's what they would do. And you can imagine if you were a parent who all of a sudden you find your child is missing, you believe they're kidnapped, and you get contacted by this National Council for the Safety of Children, and they say, we want to put your child's face on the back of a milk carton so that people can be watching for your child. And we can recruit other people to help look for them. And you go, yes, that'd be wonderful. So they say it'll come out maybe later this week or whatever. Later this week, you go to the grocery store to see it, and you grab a milk carton, and you look at that picture, and you go, it's blurry. Right? It's like, or you say, it almost looks like they stretched the picture I gave them of my child. And it doesn't look exactly like my child. And you go, how is that going to help? Yes, they have the name there and the information, but it doesn't look like my child. It's close. I can recognize who it was supposed to be. But someone who doesn't know my child is not going to see that that's my child from this picture. Even though it may be close, you say that the details aren't there. And it's in those matters where it's really important that you say the little details, they matter. They matter in this. And you know, when Jesus Christ came to earth, there was a lot that was at stake when Jesus Christ came and was born of Mary in that manger. And then as he lived his life and went to the cross and died for us, we understand this, there was a lot at stake. But there was a lot at stake in the sense that Jesus Christ came to be, as Colossians tells us, the image of the invisible God. And this was important for God, that we would see him, see the Father through Jesus Christ. And so there was a lot at stake in the details of Jesus Christ's life. And then we're going to get there later, but in Colossians chapter 3, Paul's going to say that you and I are remade into the image of Jesus Christ. We're being remade into the image of Christ. And the details matter. There's a lot at stake with us being the image of Jesus Christ. And what I want to see tonight is why the details matter. As in Jesus Christ's life, as he was the image of God, and in our life, as we are the image of Jesus Christ. And the first reason why the details matter is because of the purpose of the image. The purpose of the image. An image or a portrait of someone, we can think about it this way. It stands between two people, right? There is the subject, who we could say is behind the image. They're the one that the picture is of. It's about them. It shows who they are. And then there's the spectator, who's on the other side. They're the one who sees the subject, but they see him through that portrait, or through that image, or through that picture. And so the image there allows the spectator to see who the subject is without actually physically seeing that person. There's a lot of historical characters that you would recognize, right? People, if they walked in, right? People from years ago, if they walked in tonight somehow, right? You would recognize them because you've seen their picture. You've never seen them in person. There's a lot of people like that. We've never seen them in person, but we've seen their picture, so we know what they look like. And I want us to go back to John chapter 1, if you'll go with me, to John chapter 1. This is what God did for us through Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1 and verse 18, as John is introducing his gospel and introducing Jesus Christ to his readers, he says in John chapter 1 and verse 18 that no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No man hath seen God the Father at any time. It's not possible for us in our human bodies with our human eyes to see God. No man has seen God at any time, but it was important for God to show himself to us. So John says, the only begotten of the Father. He had declared him to us. He sent Jesus Christ to show God the Father to us. And so in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says he is the image of the invisible God. God the Father, whom we have not seen, who we cannot see, yet we do see Jesus Christ. And it was important to God. God thought it was important that we know about God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ came, as we know, in the image of God. But what did he show us? Because Jesus Christ wasn't showing us what God looked like, right? The physical form of God. What he was showing us was who God is, right? He wasn't showing us like a face of God. He was showing us the nature and the character of God. That's what Jesus Christ came to show us, because the physical form that Jesus Christ took wasn't identical to the physical form of God the Father, right? God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it wasn't that Jesus Christ came to show us the physical form of God. It was that he came to show us who God is, the nature, the character of God. That's what it means to be in the image of God. But when we talk about an image, sometimes we get the idea of like a portrait, right? Or like a painting like people can have of Jesus Christ, like as a shepherd holding a lamb or something, you know, these pictures that you can have, right? And sometimes we think about the image of God as that, but Jesus as the image of God was more like if we contrast the picture, it would be more like a video, right? Because there was action, there was movement there, there was things that were being done, there were words that were being said, and it was in that way, through the actions and the words and who Jesus Christ was, that he showed us who God the Father was. And that was the purpose. If we go to, well, I'll just read it. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And the nature of God resulted in like the corresponding actions of Jesus Christ showing that same nature, right? So the love of God was shown by the love of Jesus Christ. The grace of God was shown by the grace of Jesus Christ in all that Jesus Christ did, the loving words, the gracious words that he said. The forgiveness of God and the nature of God was shown by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And everything that we see in Jesus Christ is because it was in God the Father. Jesus Christ was the identical image of God in all that Jesus Christ did. So Jesus Christ didn't come so that we would have an idea of the physical form of God, right? Because then instead of a book describing what Jesus Christ did and what Jesus Christ said, he would have, you know, left us with a picture, right? And we would all be here opening up, unrolling maybe a portrait of what Jesus Christ looked like. And then we would go from there, but he didn't do that. He left us who God is through Jesus Christ and what he did. That's the image of Jesus Christ that we have. And so the purpose of Jesus Christ was to act out the nature of God toward us. And it wasn't so much let me show you, right? But it was let me do this to you. It wasn't that we were just almost like we were in the audience, but it's like we've been brought up on stage so that we can be part of that, right? Because it hasn't just been shown to us, it's been done to us as believers, right? It's not something that we know about, it's something that it's something that we have experienced personally. The love of God has been experienced by all of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. John chapter 5 and verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And so what matters to me is what Jesus Christ did, what he said, how he lived his life, all of those things. That's what matters, because that is where the image of God is found in Jesus Christ. And the mercy and the grace and the love that Jesus Christ showed to me on Calvary, right, as he died on the cross for my sins, all of that was a direct result of who God is. And so we have the purpose of the image. It's to act out the nature of God toward us. That's what Jesus Christ came and that's what he did. Right? He demonstrated that to us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love by Christ's action, by Christ dying for us. The love of God was demonstrated, shown to us, acted out to us through the love of Christ by dying on the cross for us. So the purpose of the image, and the details matter in the purpose of the image because the purpose was to live out the nature and the character of God toward us. But the second reason why the details matter is not just the purpose of the image, but also the perfection of the image. The perfection of the image. All right, I'm going to give you a little art history lesson. I don't know any of this. I had to look it all up, okay? So maybe you're like, I took art history in college or something. I don't want to hear anymore. You're going to anyways. All right, here we go. In 1874, there was an art exhibition in Paris, and there was a group of artists like Claude Monet and Edgar Degas who they started what was called the Impressionist movement. All right, so what the Impressionist movement was a moving away from the realism and the emphasis on all the details and more into communicating the emotions and the mood and the sense of the scene instead of just the details. So they started to move away from that, and instead of like the tinier, like detailed brushstrokes, they started doing larger brushstrokes. Instead of like blended colors, they would do more vivid and contrasting colors. And they started doing all of this with an emphasis on just communicating the sense of the scene instead of all the details. And then from there, it was a decade later, in the late 1880s, that artists began the post-impressionist movement, which kept going in that same line where even less details and now just trying to convey the general idea so you'd get the emotions of it and the lighting of it and that sort of emphasis and moving farther away from all the details. And so that's the style that they were going after. And it was, you know, fine, and they were talented in all of that, and people consider that to be very beautiful. But when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he didn't come to just give us the impression of who God was, like the general sense, like just so we get kind of the emotion of who God is and just so we can bask in a sense of you know, the glory of God. He came to give us details, to give us exact details of who God was. Now, he didn't tell us everything about who God is, right? There's still a lot we don't know about God that we cannot fathom. But everything he gave us about who God is, everything he showed us, told us, acted out toward us, is accurate in those details. He came to give us the perfect image of God. And we look at that and go, well, the details matter then. If they mattered enough to Jesus Christ that he would be perfect in all that he did, that he would come and be sinless in every single tiny aspect of life because he wanted to show us the perfect image of God, then we say the details really matter in showing the image of God. In John chapter 14 and verse 8, Philip looks at Jesus and he says, listen, I want to show us the Father and we'll be happy, right? Just show us who God is. And this is Jesus' response. He said, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus looked at Philip and said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He didn't say, if you've seen me, you've kind of got an idea. Like a general picture, a big picture idea of who God is. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Because Jesus Christ was the perfect Son of God. In every area of his life, he was exactly like God the Father. And every word that he spoke, he said, I received those words from the Father. What Jesus Christ did was because he saw it in the Father. He showed us the perfect image of God. And would God the Father have been pleased with anything less than perfect holiness from his Son? Would he have said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, if Jesus Christ had been any less forgiving than God, or less merciful, or less good than God the Father himself? But he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, because in every area, he was the perfect image of God the Father, in every single area. And the perfection of the image was necessary to fulfill the purpose of the image. If the purpose of the image was to act out the nature of God toward us, then he couldn't have done that if he hadn't been perfect as the image of God. Because he would have left part of that out. He would have left some part out. In order to fulfill the purpose, there has to be perfection. In order for him to really act out the nature of God, it had to be because he did everything exactly as God desired and exactly as God is in heaven. And so the details mattered. It mattered to God the Father. It mattered to Jesus Christ in his purpose and in his perfection as the image. But then there's one more reason that we need to see why details still matter, why they still matter to us. And that is because of the passing on of the image. The passing on of the image. And I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you'll go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. We're going to start by reading verse 45 down through verse 49. But he's talking about the difference between Adam and Jesus Christ, who he calls the last Adam or the second Adam. But he says in verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, or Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Right? So Adam, the first Adam, was natural. Jesus Christ was spiritual. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And here he says in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We were born after the image of Adam, right? Made in the likeness of Adam, right? We were born with our sin nature and all of that, right? But then Paul says there is coming a day that we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And in Romans chapter 8, in verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 1 John 3, in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Paul and these other writers tell us that we are going to be like Jesus Christ one day. And that's what Paul is going to go on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has promised that this is going to take place. This moment of absolute transformation and change in our life, where we go from being who we are now to being like Jesus Christ completely. And that change takes place when we see Jesus Christ face to face. But now we find ourselves somewhere in between, right? Where we have, where as Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All right, we are in this process of being remade, right? That's going to be completed. And so now we're in this in-between time, and that brings us to Colossians chapter 3. Paul is writing to people who are in that in-between time, where Christ is doing this work of sanctification, which is this process of changing us to look like Jesus Christ, to being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It starts at the moment of salvation, and it is completed when we get to glory. But right now, God is still doing that. It's the work that's been begun and that he is performing until the day of Jesus Christ. And so in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read starting in verse 5 down through the end, but I want to just show you verse 10 first. It's in the middle, and he's talking to them about this. Those that have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's what Paul is wanting. In all that he's going to say before these verses and after these verses, he's saying, I want you to look like Jesus Christ. So he tells them in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Right? Remember, there's from 1 Corinthians 15, there's that which is of the earth and that which is of heaven. He says, mortify those things. Put to death those things that are of the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So, he said, put off all these things. Now he tells them in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Then he starts into relationships. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And he gives them all of these things. You know what those are? Those are details. Those are the details that matter as we are to be in the image of Jesus Christ. All of these things matter because the image of Jesus Christ has been passed on to us. We are to be in the image of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to do that, all of these details matter because it's about the perfection of Jesus Christ, about showing that to the people around us, showing that in our life. And if the purpose of Jesus Christ as the image of God was fulfilled through his perfection, then that's what Jesus Christ wants from us as we are in the image of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Then it says, in all manner of conversation. As he is holy, so we're supposed to be holy. And then Peter said, and listen, the details matter. In all manner of conversation. And the little things. He says, that matters. Because we are made in the image of Jesus Christ. And so we see the purpose. We see the perfection and the passing on of the image. And I want us to go to Luke chapter 20. If we turn to one more passage, Luke chapter 20 and verse 22. Luke chapter 20 I'm in John chapter 20. Luke chapter 20 and verse 22, one of them come to Jesus Christ and they ask him this question. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? And then he says, show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. So he asked them for a penny, and he said, whose image do you see on this penny? And he said, if you see the image of Caesar, then you give that to Caesar. The question is, when we look at ourselves, maybe we look in the mirror, we just think about our lives, whose image do we see? In a mirror, we see ourselves, right? We see our nose and our eyes and our mouth smiling, maybe frowning back at us. But you know, there's another image that's there too. And it's not in our facial features, but it's there behind it. It's there in our life. And that's the image of Jesus Christ. And so if we see that as Christians, if we see the image of God, the image of Christ in us, then we have to say, well, render unto God the things that are God's. Render unto Christ the things that are Christ's. And we are Christ. He's put his image upon us. And so we need to render our lives and our service, our actions, all the details of our life to Jesus Christ. And he wants us to do that. He wants us to live out his nature on this earth, and he wants us to do it accurately. He wants us to do it perfectly. He wants us to do it in holiness and in righteousness. He wants us to do a good job of showing Jesus Christ to this world. And the question I want to end with tonight is this. For us as Christians who are to be in the image of Jesus Christ, have the details stopped mattering to us? Have those little details, showing Jesus Christ in the little areas of life, have those little ones stopped to matter? Have we just become content with kind of a big picture, giving the impression that we are in the image of Christ? Or are we still disciplined in the details, really showing Jesus Christ in those small details? There was an artist by the name of Nick Stathopoulos who in 2016, he painted a portrait of a man whose name was Deng Adut. He was a Sudanese refugee who'd become a lawyer. And Deng Adut grew up in Sudan, and he grew up as one of those child soldiers. So he really had a rough life, a rough childhood. But somehow he managed to get out of that, and he found his way to Australia. When he got to Australia, he was able to go to school, and he ended up becoming a lawyer for specializing in refugees and that sort of thing, which really came from his background. And really, he just had a kind of an amazing turnaround in his life. And so somehow Nick, the artist, got in contact with Deng Adut, and he said, I want to paint your portrait. But he did one of those photorealistic portraits. It's one of those that are so detailed and accurate that it looks exactly like a photo. Like you just took a picture of that person. And he said that the painting took 4 months to complete and to render every single part. And it's interesting when you look at that picture, because you look at this man's face in that painting, and he has scars crisscrossing his face. And they're all faded. You know, they're from his childhood, but you can just see the hard life that he had. And it's rendered in every single part. And it said it took him 4 months to do that because he wanted to accurately capture every single, down to the pores that are in this man's face. And he said, here's this quote, he said, I had to capture every tiny scar because cumulatively they add up to Deng's narrative. And he said it wouldn't have looked like him without all of those details. And you know, tonight as we see Jesus Christ, when we look at Jesus Christ, we see scars, don't we, in Jesus Christ? We see the scars of the nails and the crown of thorns and the spear that pierced his side. But more than that, they're the scars of really what we heard this morning of service, right? The scars of, as Brother Olson preached in Sunday school, about denial and death to self, right? And those scars that we see in Jesus Christ, where he decreased, where he lowered himself for us. But these are all the details of Jesus Christ's life. And if we really want to look like Jesus Christ, and if we want to fulfill our purpose of showing Christ to this world, then the details are going to matter to us. We're going to be disciplined in just the little things in life. And I know it's sometimes we look at them and go, well, people don't even see these things. People don't see the small things. They don't see the hidden things. But what we have to understand is they're laying out a pattern. and that is going to affect every part of our life. A pattern of laziness, a pattern of lack of discipline, a pattern of carelessness, and that scene. And they do, the little things where we just choose to let our self reign and let ourself be in control, those little things that maybe nobody else sees, they impact every part of our life. And they have the tendency to just to spread and to come out in other ways. But listen, whether or not people see them or not, whether or not we can keep them under control or not, that's not the point. The point is we are called to be like Jesus Christ. And we see Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God. We see him as the perfect image of God in all that he did and all that he said. We look at his life and we say, the details mattered to Jesus Christ in everything that he did. And we take that and say, I want to be like Christ. And so I'm going to say in my life, the details matter, the little things. I'm going to be disciplined in those details. I'm going to ask Christ to give me that discipline to be like him in every single area of my life. And I wonder tonight if we've let those details kind of go by the wayside. And he said, I'm a Christian, right? I have that title. I have that name, and I've kind of got the big picture. Christ, I give people the impression, the sense of who God is in my life, and they know that God loves them and these things, but we've kind of let the details go by the wayside. And we've kept the big things, the things that people see, but in those little details, we've let those slip, and we've let ourselves and who we are come out in the little areas. But when we see Jesus Christ, we see someone who showed God to us in every single aspect of his life. And we say, I want the details to matter. I want to be disciplined in all the little areas so that everyone can see Jesus Christ and so that God would be glorified in my life. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you did for us, how you sent Jesus Christ to this earth to show us your love and your grace and all of who you are to us. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. And we've been blessed by that. But Lord, we understand the great responsibility that you've given to us to show the world Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to be diligent in that. Help us to be disciplined in our lives. So Lord, we ask for your grace and we ask for your strength. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.